Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two millennial Americans who don't really know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sham.
Heavens Devils podcast. Been around the world and I love Azza Collins. All right, it's had to say it. Been
around the world and I definitely playing the background. Let's go.
Yeah, in honor of all of the international voices we got on before the big game this past weekend. Had to shout those international fans out. And express my love for one A-Ron Collins.
I gotta close the window before I record, cause New York don't know how to be quiet. She wanna dance, well I got the
moves. I'm looking like Michael Jackson in his shoes. Shout out Aaron Collins. Yes. Aaron, as a razzmatazza Hubbard Collins with the Michael Jackson move. Shout out Jimmy Ball. Shouts to the defense led by Chris Stokes. We'll talk all about that more later, Shimmy. But what a weekend. What a game. How are we feeling, Shimmy Shamshango?
Oh, man. Just on cloud nine, or is cloud false nine more appropriate? Maybe we'll just say cloud 10 in honor of one Aaron Collins. We're on cloud 10, man. What a weekend.
Shimmy, I told you to bring the heat today. I told you, you got to bring the heat. You got to carry this pod today, and that is what you're doing, Shimmy. You're bringing the heat. Let's go. You're on fire. All right.
You know, I keep that thing on me.
Let's go. Up. How are we feeling, Shimmy?
Oh, man. Just awesome. I mean, I can't believe we finally met a bunch of our FGR NYC supporters group in person at just the best bar you could ever imagine to watch a game on a huge projector screen. Was just amazing to do it out at Superfine, a bar out in Dumbo, Brooklyn. Shout out to Kara Lee, who hooked us up and hosted us for the match. Man, just what a day.
What a day, man. I'll talk about that too in a sec, but shout out Kara Lee. She's a real one. There's the sirens in the background you may or may not be able to hear. Let's go.
I gotta close the window before I record, because New York don't know how to be quiet.
New York City, baby. Oh my God, if you ain't rocking with Jimmy Ball, Shimmy, you're not rocking right. If you're not podding with a $20 mic, you're not podding right, Shimmy. And if you are not following the Forest Green Rovers, Shimmy, I don't even know. A team. What a club. What a family. Shimmy, I am feeling amazing. So much has happened since the last pod. First up, how about those international fans? You mentioned them at the top, man. The international fans getting together to create that fan support video for the players. So fun to do. Shout out Roderick from the Netherlands. Man, that was so cool. So fun to connect with everybody. So fun to put it together. And we had other supporters, too, who dropped videos from all over the world, from parts of Asia, other parts of Europe, other parts of South America. Unfortunately, they sent them too late, so they didn't make the cut because they were too late. But maybe
for Wembley time. Final.
Yes, I was thinking maybe for the Wembley final. Let's go. But man, that was so cool. Outstanding and massive, just massive thank you to everyone involved. You know, we actually heard some feedback from a lot of the players who said, like, oh man, this was awesome. We all really appreciate this. So big shout out to you guys, man, for doing that. That was awesome. And I had to cut down the videos too, because I had to make it, you know, fit in a 2-minute, 20-second video for Twitter. That was the limit. Mm-hmm. But the full length videos of some of these were just hilarious and outstanding and amazing. So thank you guys for that. I should release like an uncut version. It was so good. Anyway, appreciate you, FGR Nation. And then, Shimmy, we went on the Bloody Vegans podcast, Shimmy, to talk Forest Green Rovers, to talk about being vegan, to talk about politics in New York City and, like, whatever. So much more. The Wheeling Nailers, semi-professional hockey team, with Jim.
We got deep.
Jim from the Bloody Vegans, who is a proper FGR fan, by the way. Great guy. Outstanding podcast. Not ours, not the episode we were on, but all the other episodes are brilliant. Definitely worth a listen. He's had so many amazing guests on too, in the world of animal rights and veganism. I don't know like why we were on there. He must have had someone cancel, you know, last minute.
Sure.
And then just needed to fill the time, so that was us. Because he has some really outstanding guests. I think just three episodes before us, it was Captain Paul Watson, the dude who created Sea Shepherd. So shout out Sea Shepherd, right. Kit sponsor. Right. But anyway,
the organization that we rock on every kit, right?
Amen. So, man, shout out to Jim, though. Shout out to the Bloody Vegans podcast. Listen to the Bloody Vegans podcast. Skip our episode, but listen to all the other ones. He does such a good, it's such a good podcast. It's so good. Like,
it is. I know you're doing it with us, Jimmy.
It's inspired. Like, we've both listened to it. Not our episode again, other episodes. And it's inspired, you know, conversation between us. And it's really cool. It's enlightening. He's a fantastic interviewer. Jade Crawford has been on there several times. Shout out Jade, FGO Chef. So anyway, awesome pod. And then finally, Shimmy, like you said, on Saturday with FGR New York City, it was so fun. We had about 15 of us, and we're even missing a few, including my wife who couldn't make it. I think if we could have like maxed out FGR NYC, it would have been around like 20, 25 people maybe. And we are growing, Shimmy. We are growing every day. It was so fun just meeting up. The bar was fantastic. We all had a few too many drinks for 10 in the morning, as evidenced by the video that we probably shouldn't have posted with our post-game thoughts. But anyway, we posted it. It's out there on the internet forever. But it was just wild, Shimmy, to watch the boys on a giant projector. Equally wild to hear Billy Hunt's voice echo down the streets of Brooklyn because the bar actually had outside speakers too. So everyone heard.
So wild.
Yeah, everyone passing by just heard the majestic voices of Ian Randall, Billy Hunt, BBC Gloucestershire. Yeah.
There's nothing quite like walking by the Manhattan Bridge and then hearing RG Bargy just waft by your ear. Perfect.
But man, so fun. Cannot wait to try to arrange a very small gathering for Tuesday's first leg and then do it big again. We got to do a big Shimmy Sunday second leg. Shimmy. But anyway, let's get into this pod. So, Shimmy, let's get into it. Here's the plan today, Shimmy. We are going to talk about Saturday's massive match. We are going to go chat with Statman, Chris Latham, statistical man himself. And we have on EFL journalist, pundit, and creator of the EFL fan show, Gabriel Sutton. Gabriel Sutton. That man's knowledge of the lower leagues is like, I don't know, what's it like, Shimmy?
I think we referred to him as the encyclopedia of League Two, and man, he earns every bit of that title. He's the encyclopedia of League Two, whereas we are the Wikipedia of League Two, because that's our main source of knowledge.
Yeah, that's good. So anyway, Gab, aka Yo Gabba Gabba, is going to give us his thoughts on League Two, on how it ended, who were the overachievers of League 2 this year, who were the underachievers of League 2 this year, and of course, he's going to tell us all about the playoffs. Next week, we will do a proper Newport preview, but in the meantime, Gab is going to get us ready for the playoffs at large. So, Shimmy, so much to discuss. Let's get into it. Let's get into it, Shimmy. What are we sipping on today?
Well, in honor of what we were sipping on match day this past Saturday, we're sipping on some Pilsner Urquell, the classic Pilsner from the Czech Republic. Been around since 1842, but man, like you said, it's an early kickoff time for us here on the east coast of the U.S., so we couldn't go too hard or too heavy, but those Pilsners were perfect, and man, just reliving those memories even as I sip on this right now.
Yeah, so good call by our buddy Ben, because you out there at the bar, Shimmy, you were trying to get an IPA at 10 in the morning, Shimmy. That is not IPA time. That is light beer Pilsner time, Shimmy. Right. You were a wild man. Thank you to Ben.
So that's why you got to go with your crew, with your supporter crew. They look out for you. They let you know when you're not on the right path.
Exactly. So shout out to Ben, who reeled you in, because you were about to get beers, and I was like, yeah, just give me whatever you're getting. Not thinking you would go IPA on me, like 8% alcohol at, 10 a.m. Anyway, so shout out to Ben. Anyway, Shimmy. Cheers to this phenomenal league. Cheers to the massive and convincing win on Saturday. Cheers to the first gathering of FGR NYC. Cheers to all the international fans that helped us with that video. Cheers to the local fans who have made us feel so loved and so welcomed as two idiots / outsiders who are new to the club. Cheers to Aaron Collins and his redemption story, man. Cheers to Captain baby Chris Stokes and that back line that has held firm time and time again, including this Saturday against a very explosive Oldham attack. Cheers to Jimmy Ball, Shimmy, and cheers to the playoffs. It's playoff season, baby. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, Nathan.
All right, Shimmy. onto the association football, onto the soccer, Shimmy, onto the footy, mate.
Simple, ordinary, unembellished, unmistakable, crystal clear football.
Oldham Athletic, 0, zilch, Forest Green Rovers, 3. The Forest Green Rovers have officially been invited and RSVP to the playoff party, Shimmy, with a very comfortable 3-0 win against the Laix. The Laix with a pair of Aaron Azza, Razmataza, Aaron Hubbard Collins goals, and an Aaron Hubbard Collins assist to Odin the Norse God Bailey. Oldham were on the attack early as Dylan, the villain, Fage Yogurt. I assume his name's probably pronounced Fage, but I'm pronouncing it Fage Yogurt. 30-yard strike, fermented a little wide, and then Alfie McElmont, whatever. His shot was blocked by JMT. The Green Zebras looked a little shaky in the first 30 minutes, but almost struck Valhalla when Odin, the Norse God Bailey's angled shot, just missed the crossbar. Right before the end of the half, Faye broke free again. Shout out Faye, shout out Bacteria Cultures. Open chance, one-on-one against Rovers keeper Luke McGee, but went wide. Jimmy Ball made several halftime adjustments to sharpen the defense, shore up the defense, and the Forest Green Rovers finally got on board in the 63rd minute when Aaron Azza Razmataza Collins buried the penalty after Iron Maiden Jaden Richardson was tripped in the box. Collins' second penalty in as many matches. And then, Shimmy, just 2 minutes later, the lead was doubled as Azza Razmataza Collins chased down a loose ball, dispossessed the defender, and found Odin the Norse God Bailey, who put it home from 8 yards. Our lead moved to 3, Shimmy, in the 80th minute after a beautiful Aaron Collins run, followed by a PlayStation FIFA right stick flick as he flicked himself right past the keeper and then buried it home in an open net. A win, Shimmy.
What a win. Just, man, like that first half, we were on the edges of our seat. You know, we weren't quite sure how it was going. Oldham was on the attack. But, man, that second half was just, it felt like everyone had been predicting, from Statman to Jimmy Ball to you, the floodgates just kind of opened, you know? Like, we got Aaron Collins with his penalty. And then, man, what a play. What a play to win that ball in the corner and get it into the Norse god, Odin Bailey, for our second. And then after that, it just felt like we had the game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. A lot of people were nervous, Shimmy, before the game. And for the first, even for the first 63 minutes of the game, and I understand it. But I don't know, Shimmy. I can't explain it. It's probably just blunt, you know, dumb ignorance. But waking up Saturday morning, I had all the confidence in the world, Shimmy. There was no doubt in my mind.
That's interesting because you knew that you were going to ride the subway and the MTA. You knew that was ahead of you. You still had confidence. That is true confidence.
Well, I did not have confidence in the MTA or in my ability to make it to the match on time because of the MTA. But I did have confidence in the boys in green. Absolutely no doubt in my mind that we weren't going to win. I knew we were going to win, Shimmy. I don't know why. But the boys did it. And I got to say, Shimmy, I have the same confidence for the playoffs. We'll talk more about the playoffs with Gab later. But man, everyone is sleeping on us right now, Shimmy. Everyone. We are the underdogs. We are the odds makers least likely to make the final, least likely to win in the final as well. They are sleeping on us, Shimmy, and I think they are making a big mistake. We'll talk more about that next week in our proper playoff preview.
Yeah, maybe we like it that way. Maybe we like it that way, you know? We just play freely.
Like
just
the underdog, man.
Just do our thing. No expectation.
I love it. I love it, man. I love it. Sleep on us all you want, all day, every day. I cannot wait to shock everybody. So first up, Aaron Collins, man, what a redemption story, Shimmy. A few weeks ago, people were calling for him to be benched. Now he is a hero and a huge part of the reason that we're going to the playoffs, Shimmy. He's worked so hard, ever since we started watching this season. He chases down balls, battles for possession, tries to make something out of nothing, and I always respect that in a player and in any sport. And he also has the skill. He has the unbelievable skill on the ball, off the ball. He's outstanding. The only issue all season has been his finishing, and I think that's 100% down to confidence. And now that he's got the confidence, in part thanks to Jimmy Ball, he is just so fun to watch. Goal number 2, goal number 3, Those things were, that was all hustle, all effort, Shimmy.
Right.
If we're going to make a run in the playoffs, Shimmy, we got to win every loose ball. We got to score hustle goals, graft goals, as they say in the UK, graft. Grit goals, as I'm going to say here, grit, baby. Goal number two, man, started by pressure all up front by everybody, including Azza. That pressure led to a turnover, and Dokes got the ball and just launched it forward where it was a chase between Oldham defender Kyle Jameson and Aaron Collins. Jameson won the chase, but Collins then dispossessed him, fended off the defense, found Odin Bailey. It was just all hustle, all grit, skill, determination, Shimmy. And then looking at that goal, I think also that that's also a Jimmy Ball goal, because I wonder in the Cooper era when Dokes got possession of the ball, if he would have tried to pass it around, you know, keep retain possession, rather than being so direct and just launching it forward for Collins. I think that was an example of the difference we're seeing under Jimmy Ball, where players are playing more free, attacking, more direct, taking chances. I love it, Shimmy. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. It comes down to that confidence. You need to have the confidence that you can win that, you know, challenge, that you can go on goal, that you can bear down on goal. And I attribute that to Jimmy Ball, too, his constant positive attitude, you know, his belief in the players, and then that belief, you know, his belief transferring over to that self-belief. And man, yeah, the work rate, the desire was there. And I think that's why we saw the scoreline we did.
And then the third goal was magnificent, Shimmy. Collins took the ball solo up three-fourths of the pitch. Three-fourths of the pitch. He got it in his own. It was crazy. All by himself, just sped past every defender and then calmly dribbled past the keeper and tapped it into an open net. He just, it looked like he was playing with him. He looked like he didn't belong on the same pitch as these, you know, these as Oldham. It was insane. It's the kind of skill, you know, he looked like he was playing with kids. I mean, that kind of skill in the second half that you saw, it's like that's what you expect like a championship player who's playing down here in League 2 to look like. It was outstanding, and I am just so happy for him after all he's gone through with his finishing woes. And I am absolutely loving watching him soar under Jimmy Ball. And you wonder, Shimmy, what could he have done with Jimmy Ball all season? I mean, would he have won the Golden Boot? Would he win the most assists this season, Shimmy? He has been remarkable. And Shimmy, you think that Aaron knew that Michael Jackson was an Exeter fan? And that the Michael Jackson dance move, was that a shot fired at Exeter? I mean, his goals did keep Exeter out of the playoffs, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it could be, you know. We might have to run that one past Harvey Bunker. Or, hey, maybe Aaron Collins just wants a statue of himself out in front of Craven Cottage. You know, that's where he's shooting. He's shooting for that ultimate honor.
Quick shout-out to Chris Sutton and Chris Latham. Sutton said Azza would score 5 goals in this one. Well, close. He was responsible for 3, so not bad. And Chris Latham perfectly predicted that 1, Azza would be critical to us making the playoffs, and 2, that Azza would excel under Jimmy Ball. Right and right, Shimmy. And let's talk about James Jameson, Jimmy Jam Ball. I had absolutely zero expectations for this guy. Didn't know anything about him. Some U18 manager I never heard of. And Shimmy, he has exceeded every expectation, which wasn't hard to do because I had none. But Shimmy, he's taken us to the moon. We are a different team under Jimmy Ball. I mean, you know, first, of course, he's so positive. So positive. And that goes a long way in building confidence. He's also very patient. I was listening to the Pod on the Top of the Hill with Lori and Ollie. By the way, shout out Lori and Ollie.
Love those guys, man.
Shout out Pod on the Top of the Hill. Excellent pod, man. Those guys do awesome. Awesome stuff. On the pod and off the pod. I mean, following Lori, too. Actually, we talk about Lori with Chris in a minute. But anyway, shout out to those guys. But Ollie mentioned, you know, how patient Jimmy Ball has been with Aaron Collins, that maybe you think maybe Mark Cooper wouldn't have been, especially after that Crawley match. I thought that was a really good observation by Ollie, and I agree. So, and that goes a long way too. When you show confidence in a player, they're gonna have that confidence. And then tactically too, he seems to get it right. Like, we had problems in the first half in all these matches, including this one against Oldham. You know, we had a lot of issues. We there were a lot of chances from Oldham. We didn't create much. And then you look at the second half. We basically shut them down. We shut their attack down. We scored 3, Shimmy, 3 goals. And Oldham, by the way, are very tough to keep a clean sheet against. They can score goals, Shimmy. Coming into this match, they were the leading goal scorers in all of League Two. They had 72 goals this season. Number one in League Two going into the game. They got surpassed by Cambridge because we shut them out and Cambridge scored. But anyway, they score goals, Shimmy. They score goals, and we kept a clean sheet. We shut them out. So Aaron Collins is going to get all this plaudits, all these plaudits, and it's well-deserved. But Jimmy Ball's tactics and this defense led by Chris Stokes and consisting of Chris Stokes, our boy Dokes, Drippy Dom, our man Drippy Dom with the short shorts, Cooley Bailey, man, they were outstanding. And JMT, too, even though he's playing more of a midfield role, when he's coming back, he's outstanding, too, Shimmy. So it's just massive shout-out to this defense for this clean sheet against this high-powered attack of Oldham. To me, Shimmy, everything is clicking right now. The defense is organized. Tough to break down. Three clean sheets in the last six games under Jimmy Ball. Actually, should be four clean sheets as the Tranmere game. We gave up a goal in like the 96th minute, which was also a very nice, well-taken goal. And we had 10 men. So, I mean, he's figured out the defense. Our attack is looking great. I'm just full of belief and excitement right now, man.
I'm right there with you, Nathan. And I even believe there's a pretty popular EFL paper, and they named Cooley Bailey in their team of the week.
Cooley Bailey.
So, man, you know, just like you said, not just Aaron Collins doing it by himself, but it was an entire team effort led by Jimmy Ball.
I thought
Jimmy
Waggy
Ball.
Was a beast, yeah. too.
Yeah, we were a little curious seeing him run up to the offensive third at the beginning of the match, you know.
Yeah.
We're like, well, where's he going? But
Waggy P, baby, a.k.a. Playoff P. Man, everyone was so good, man. I love this team. Anyway, one last thing I'm super curious about. Dale Vince. I mean, how incredible was that decision to appoint Jimmy Ball? I'd love to ask Dale, like, did you have any idea Jimmy Ball would be so good? Like, did he know? Did he know? Or is this just like a crazy lucky break for us? Let's move on to the man, the myth, the legend, Gabriel Sutton. Gabriel is just a wealth of League 2, League 1, championship knowledge. This man knows it all. Such a pleasure to talk with this guy. Felt smarter talking to him. Felt a lot dumber as soon as we stopped talking. But, God, what a guy. We talk playoffs. We talk League 2 season expectations. Who were the overachievers? Who were the underachievers? What should we expect in the playoffs with these four teams? When we smoke Newport, who do we want to play in the final? So let's get to Gabriel here. We welcome to the pod the man with the most encyclopedic knowledge of the lower leagues in the world. He is the creator of the EFL Fans Show, an EFL pundit, a writer for the Sack Race, Who Scored, Bet Victor, among others, and a man who has forgotten more about clubs like Accrington Stanley and Colchester United than Shyam and I will ever know. We welcome to the pod, Gabriel Sutton. Welcome to the pod, Gabriel.
Wow, thank you, Nathan. I like to talk to an American. You always seem to do your introductions pretty well, so thanks for that, man.
Yeah, well, so Gabriel, man, just a pleasure to see you again, because I joined you once for the EFL Fan Show, where I think the show probably lost all credibility for having me on, but appreciated it anyway. It was a lot of fun, and great to have you back on here today, Gabriel.
Price, yeah. It's great to see so many Forest Green Rovers fans out in Brooklyn.
Man, that was so fun. Fun, Gabriel. Well, we had a blast. Happy the season is continuing for us for many reasons. One of them is that we get to keep hanging out and hopefully going to that bar and celebrating Forest Green Rovers.
Oh, awesome. Well, listen, I'm so pleased that you're kind of bringing League 2 onto a global brand and the EFL generally, because it's great to see more people kind of get hooked by what an amazing division it is. And obviously, Forest Green Rovers as well have their values as well, being a vegan club, which I'm sure appeals to a big demographic, really.
Yeah, man, there's nothing like League 2.
So exciting, man.
So fun. And not just yesterday, I mean, the whole season's a roller coaster. Like, you know, I don't remember, maybe December, it's like, oh, we're getting auto-promoted, man. This is great. We're crushing it. There's no way we don't get auto-promoted. And then, you know, in the spring or, you know, late winter, early spring, it's like, oh, there's no way we're making the playoffs. We're definitely down here next year, no question. And then, yeah, fire Mark Cooper, bring in Jimmy Ball, and then everything changes again, and it's just crazy. It's just a crazy roller coaster. It's so fun. and just so much drama. You don't like, it's crazy. Last match day of the season, up until it, we didn't know who was going to win League Two. We didn't know who was going to be auto-promoted other than Cheltenham. You didn't know who was going to be in the playoffs exactly. The only thing we knew was who's going to be relegated. That was it. So just so exciting. So exciting. Love this league. Probably why you love the lower leagues too. We're going to ask you about that here in a minute.
Yeah, sure. I'm looking forward to talking about that.
So you're probably in the 0.00001% of people in the entire world in terms of your EFL knowledge. Like, I have to imagine. very cool. Sham, what are we in the 0.00001% of?
Well, we are the elite of the elite of New Yorkers with a Forest Green Rovers podcast. I can say that definitely.
I think we're the only one. I think
we're the only one. And we're also in the 0.0001% of podcasters who have not upgraded past a $20 microphone after doing this for more than like 3 weeks.
That's true.
We're still holding this together with like rubber bands.
Yeah, that's true. So before we talk, so we want to ask you about your journey into this love of the EFL, the lower leagues. We want to talk about the playoffs and League Two specifically. We want to ask you a little bit about your thoughts just on the League Two season in general this year, all that stuff. But before we get into that, we got to play a game. It's our sponsors demand it, Gabriel. We have to do it. So here's the game.
Okay.
It's testing your encyclopedic.
Ooh, come on, man. I'm excited now.
Of the lower leagues. So challenge. I'm going to name a team. And your job is, in 5 seconds or less, just name a player on the team. That's all you got to do. Just name a player.
Yeah.
Got it? And then to add a little spice, Sham is going to compete against you. All right, Sham? I don't know if you knew that, but now you're playing against him. So, Sham.
Perfect.
You're
in for a real challenge here, Gabriel.
Oh, okay.
First person to name a player who actually plays on that team wins. That's how it works. Okay. No pressure, Gabriel, but we've had Sham go up in games against everyone, like our captain, Chris Stokes, against actually every player we've had on the team, Sham has competed against. Dale, Vince. No, we didn't play a game with Dale, did we, Sham?
No.
Play a game with Dale. But anyway, we played a game with every player.
You don't
play no games. Sham has always lost. Will his luck change today? Probably not. Here we go.
Rapid fire.
I'm going to name the team. You got to give me a player. Here we go. First one. Port Vale.
Oh, Tom Pike.
Northampton. Yeah, 1-0, Gabriel. Northampton Town Cobblers.
Harry Smith. McCovington.
I think Sean made that up. I'm going to go with Gabriel. Okay. Scunthorpe United.
Brian Loft.
Scott. Chuggington.
Shrewsbury Town.
Aaron Pierre.
Brian Lasky.
Walsall.
Ellis.
Emmanuel Arcidibe.
All right. I think I smoked you here, Sham. Last one. Here we go. I don't know if you. I think this will be the big challenge.
Okay.
Manchester City.
Oh, I don't know Manchester City. I mean, that's Premier League. I mean,
that's
what I was hoping you would say.
Who follows that joke of a league? Even I don't know. It is a joke of a league, man.
It is. All right, that's what I was hoping you would say, Gabriel.
That's the right answer, Gabriel. Somehow that was the right answer.
Yeah, perfect setup. All right, Gabriel smoked you as expected.
I bow to the master.
Do you think you could? Do you think you could? I mean, we won't do this. But do you think you could actually name a player on every single like lower league team?
Yes, I would imagine so. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing.
Respect.
I guess we would. That kind of leads us into our first question. Is just like, how did you like get into this? How did you, you know, you do such amazing work promoting the lower leagues, and the lower leagues are so special as we've like Sham and I have grown to see and love. Tell us about that. Like, how did you get into this role that you have now?
Well, I've always enjoyed writing and thinking about football, and I suppose you look at the elite, and you know everyone has an opinion on Manchester United and Manchester City, and sometimes what I've discovered is that some there's lower league clubs that have really big fan bases, really passionate people following their team, that don't really have much coverage in the mainstream media. And I think there's a lot of beauty as well in the lower leagues. And I guess the main thing I wanted to do in my work as a broadcaster and as a journalist is to really show that. And I like to think I've done that so far.
Yeah,
absolutely. You absolutely have, man. You absolutely have. When you think of, like, you know, the lower leagues, you know, you think of Gabriel Sutton, Edward Walker, the D3 D4 pod, and the not top 20 pod. Like those are the those are the names like that you come to when you think of those leagues. You absolutely have, man. And we've been ever since we started following Four Screen Rovers, getting into League Two, we've been following you. And well, one, we're just like blown away by your knowledge.
The knowledge and the passion too. Because even if you listen to the big ones, like The Athletic has like the Totally Football podcast, the Totally League Football podcast. League Two always seems like an afterthought. Hey, the last 5 minutes, we'll just say one or two things and it's done. Yeah. You don't really learn anything from them, man. That's where you guys are just so awesome.
Well, I would kind of flip that on its head and say that I'm very lucky to be able to spend the amount of time that I do sort of working on these lower leagues, but I wouldn't be anything without fans, because as much as I can watch highlights and things like that, I do really feed off what fans like yourself are saying about their team. So it's largely thanks to people like you as well. So I'm really appreciative of that.
Yeah, there's a big crowdsourcing element to it then.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of about just kind of making links with fans of different clubs and kind of engaging in that way. And because, of course, you can kind of have your independent opinion for a match that you watch and stuff like that. But on the other hand, fans do watch their team for 46 games a season, possibly more with cup games. So it would be foolish not to kind of lean on that at the time. So, that's been a massive help.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's the other thing that's so brilliant. Like, not only do you promote the beauty of these lower leagues, but you promote the fans. Football is nothing without the fans. Anyway, love what you're doing. Much respect. Keep doing it. And I think, you are appreciated by so many of us out there who are fans of lower league teams. And I want to ask you a question, a follow-up question on that. Do you actually have a team? Or do you just wear like a generic Skybet EFL kit like every match day?
No, I have a team, Nathan. I actually support Birmingham City.
Nice. Yeah. Shout out Odin Bailey on our team, baby.
Odin Bailey from Birmingham.
Let's go.
And has he been getting on for you a lot?
Oh, outstanding. He scored yesterday.
Yeah.
Beautiful goal, the cushion goal. He scored the
Aaron
second
Collins
goal.
Set it up, but he put it away.
Yeah.
He's got a lovely left foot, hasn't he?
Oh my God, yeah. And you can just see the championship level, talent and thought thinking. Like, he just thinks, at a different speed than everyone else. He's outstanding player. I'm assuming he's probably not going to be with us next season again. But so we'll be very sad to see him go. But
there's a reason we call him the Norse God.
Yeah, we call him Odin the Norse God Bailey. Because Odin, great first name. I don't know where he got it. But anyway, and also fellow former Birmingham City man Jude Bellingham just reply tweeted to something that Odin posted about FGR. So we were all, excited about that. Oh, we got Dortmund talking about us now.
That's brilliant.
That's awesome, though, man. That's awesome. Just as we said, man, the lower leagues are so fun. There's nothing like it. Just so much excitement, drama, surprises, funny kit sponsors, crazy team names. There's nothing like it, man. It's the best. Give me your favorite lower league kit.
Do you know, everyone gets, Forest Green Rovers kit gets like so much stick. And what I loved was when, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Sam Parkin had a bit of a go at Forest Green Rovers kit for looking like a zebra, if you like.
Right.
And then the following week, Forest Green Rovers, the official club, sent in request the kit for Sam Parkin to wear. On that sense of cheekiness, I'll probably give it to you a lot. Yeah.
Let's go.
All right.
You're not just saying that because we're on here. If you were on the Cheltenham podcast, you would say the same thing.
Well, it's certainly one of the most. I'm not a massive kit person generally, Nathan. So it doesn't really capture my imagination as much as it does for other people. But I did love that sort of sense of humor from Forest Green, because you've got to have a bit of a laugh now and again and be able to laugh at yourself sometimes. I think that's a really great quality.
Oh, I love it.
I love that attitude. And I think that's probably why we like the team a lot too. We're kind of naturally cheeky guys too. So we're like, we find our people, yeah. Nice. So let's turn on to this past season in League Two. Gabriel, looking back on it, who in your opinion were the biggest overachievers this season in League Two?
The biggest overachievers? Well, I was incredibly impressed with what came from United have done. I mean, when you look at Mark Bonner, his first full season in management, I think there's something very romantic about that because, you know, yes, they've signed a high pedigree player in as Houlihan in the summer, but there are a lot of players alongside Houlihan who have stepped up massively. I mean, if you look at Paul Mullin, who's 30-odd goals he's had this season or something crazy like that. I'm not 100% sure on the statistic, but he hasn't been prolific previously in his career, but just I think playing alongside Joe Ironside, who's actually relegated technically with Macclesfield Town, or certainly part of a struggling side last season. But those are two players that have really gone up another level, and with the work rate of Ironside and the coaching ability of Mullin, and then the creativity of Houlihan behind, and then other unsung heroes kind of stepping up like Digby and Noyle for Cambridge. That's just incredibly impressive. So Morecambe you'd have to put in a similar category. So yeah, Cambridge, I think primarily, but Morecambe have done brilliantly as well.
Yeah. We have been really impressed with where Morecambe ended up finishing, you know, because we thought when we played them that we had done really well and we were like set up really nicely. But for them to have that push, was incredible. Same with Bolton. We thought
budget
was really
too, from what I understand. Well, yeah, Bolton's
but
got
they
money,
have the
right?
money. They're big.
But
they're
Morecambe,
big.
Yeah. Based on what I understand anyway about the money, I was like it's awesome, like what they've been able to do. But hopefully it'll stop very soon because they're a playoff competitor, which we're going to ask you about in a few minutes. So, anyway, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, who do you think, Gabriel, has been the biggest underachievers this season?
The biggest underachievers? Well, I think there's clearly a lot of frustration at Walsall because I've watched interviews with Leigh Pomlet, who's their chairman, saying they've had a top 10 budget. And, you know, obviously they're affected a bit in January by losing Elijah Adebayo, who's their top striker. So I think they've probably achieved quite significantly relative to their resources. I think you'd probably have to put the likes of Mansfield have had a lot of investment in recent years, so you consider them. And I also think Bradford City, they're a massive club at this level, and I think whenever Bradford are playing in the fourth tier, you always hold them to very high standards, and unfortunately for them, they haven't been able to meet that.
Right, yeah, we saw the away match, like, man, this Bradford Stadium is, like, insane.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it?
How big it is. Yeah,
it's
like
we're
really
not used
impressive.
To camera angles like that in League Two.
yeah, but we did miss the little, our windshield wiper guy, the camera wiper.
Oh, that's true.
That's one thing we have that they don't have,
right? That's right. Yeah, the beauty of League Two matches, especially at the new lawn, is when it rains, you can't see the game anymore because the lens gets wet, and so we have to have a guy with, like, a literal rag who wipes it off continually. Love that about the Forest Green, about League Two. I don't know why we got to ask. We've had the CEO on. We've had Dale, the chairman, on. We got to ask, why don't you just put the camera under a roof so you don't have to worry about the rain on that?
There's probably a reason
that's beyond our pay. Yeah, there you go.
Nice. So, Gabriel, what do you think about the four teams in the League Two playoff?
Well, I'm so excited, Cham, for the League Two playoffs, because on the one hand, you've got Morecambe, who have just overachieved massively this season, and they've always been very much among the relegation strugglers over the last 10 years under Jim Bentley. And since Derek Adams came in, there was a slight improvement last season. I was expecting them to finish the kind of upper bottom half mark, you're looking at around 16th, 17th. So I thought there'd be improvement, but I didn't see them pushing on this much. And just, I think Derek Adams has kind of changed the culture at that. They seem a lot more driven and a lot more sort of focused and all that sort of thing. And they've had some, you know, Carlos Mendes Gomez is a player that I really like. I could see him playing in the Championship next season. So then you've got Keith Hill at Tranmere, who's obviously done great things previously in his career at Rochdale. They've got some good players as well. They're missing, though, their spearhead, James Vaughan. And I do think that without him, that they could be a little bit weaker. And then, of course, you've got Newport County, who, funnily enough, actually, three of the four teams playing in the playoffs this year were actually competing in the playoffs in the 18-19 season. So it's funny how these things work out. But listen, Michael Flynn's done a great job at Newport. Changed the style a little bit more this year, so they'll be an interesting side to watch as well. So really can't wait to get stuck into it.
Nice. Neither can we, man. It's going to be so... I mean, there's nothing like the playoffs in the lower leagues. I love it. I was saying this all season kind of jokingly, but I was like, I don't want to get auto-promoted. I want to go through the playoffs because it's so much more fun. But I would have obviously taken a third-place finish any day over playoffs. But it is going to be exciting. So what are your thoughts about our matchup against Newport, Gabriel?
Ooh, well, I would have probably fancied Newport if Mark Cooper had still been in charge by this point, because I think Mark Cooper's done some good things in his career. He's had a couple of good seasons with your lot, the Bow with Swindon previously. So, you know, he's not a bad manager, but I do have questions that marks over the way he motivates his players. Mm-hmm. And I think there had been a little bit of a drop off in form, whether there had been a little bit of difficulty motivating his players towards the end of his time there. And I think that it was good that Jimmy Ball's come in and really sort of rejuvenated the squad, albeit you're going to be without Jamil Mack. But listen, Newport have got some good players as well. They've got Josh Sheehan in midfield, who's a very creative player. So they'll be a threat, and it's going to be quite an exciting game. They've also got a player called Matt Doolan, who been a midfielder for much of his career, but they've converted him into a centre back because they think they can get a bit more from him in terms of sort of distribution and things like that. So that's going to be one to watch. And of course, they've got people like Lewis Collins has finished this season quite well. He's a very mobile forward, and then Patrick Mon, who's very much an energetic sort of finisher type striker. So they've got some good players. So it could be a really fascinating matchup.
Oh, let's go.
Man, you set that up really well for us. And, you know, I'm actually a little bit sad that Jamil Matt is not going to be playing because, you know, he had, before his, you know, freak injury a few weeks back, he was having a career season in goals, playing up against his old club. Like, that dramatic tension would have been awesome, but unfortunately wasn't to be.
Yeah, and if memory serves me correct, he scored against Newport when we played them in the winter. Actually, I think he scored against them both times we played against Newport. So, yeah, we need him back. He's great. Yeah. Every time we play Newport, he scores. And actually, that's an interesting thing. Like, I've noticed, you know, all the odds makers, anyway, that I've seen, they're all predicting us to lose this first round. And I also think a lot of them are predicting Newport to win the playoffs, or I guess Newport are the favorites anyway, and a lot of the books that I've seen to win it all. Interestingly, though, we haven't lost to Newport this year. We drew with them, and then we beat them at Newport. So, and now we have Jimmy Ball. We got that ball bounce, baby. So I'm feeling optimistic, Gabriel.
And Gabriel, do you think the pitch at Newport, since they share their ground with the rugby club, you think that's going to factor at all in this tie?
Yeah, so I think that the pitch at Newport has really affected them, because they started the season in really good form. They won 11 of their first 16 games, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And the style change that I mentioned earlier kind of really worked for them. But then, alongside losing a couple of their low knees, they lost Brandon Cooper, who was on loan from Swansea, maybe another player I think they had on loan. And then on top of that, the adverse weather conditions as they got into the winter kind of affected them, because it was very difficult to play that sort of smooth brand of football. And ironically, you'd probably say that more recently, since the weather's kind of patched up a little bit, their form has picked up, and they've got some wins recently. They're obviously beating Cheltenham, Fresh Gunthorpe, beat Crawley, so the pitch at Rodney Parade hasn't been as much of an issue. So I think it does probably affect them in the winter, but given their recent home form, I'd say they'll probably be okay on that pitch.
Yeah. Let's say that we shock the world, we shock the betting markets, and we actually get past Newport. Who, in your opinion, who should we want to play in the final?
I would say you want to play Tranmere Rovers, simply because a little bit like your lot and have been, you know, been affected initially after losing Jamil Mack. It was like you went on that losing run from that game against Bolton, which we previewed on the EFL Fan Show, where you lost the next five or six games, I think it was. I think there's a similar issue with Tranmere, because they've probably not got, a little bit like yourself, there are similar issues there. They've probably not got the ball-playing ability in central midfield to cope without having that main spearhead, which is James Vaughan. They sometimes had David Nugent, who's quite experienced towards the top of the game, but he hasn't quite sort of replaced Vaughan in the way Keith Hill might have hoped. That's not to say they've not got good players, especially out wide and in the sort of attacking areas like Payne Woolery, but just that glue that can bring it all together, that's probably something that they're missing. And I think it's often assumed that the team that just misses out on automatic promotion will be disappointed, but Morecambe have never really been in pole position. So In terms of psychology, I don't see that affecting them. I think they'll be raring to go in the playoffs. So I think Morecambe will win the playoffs, and I think they're probably the team that you'd be wanting to avoid.
That's what I was about to ask you. But yeah, if we end up with Tranmere, that would be a weird one and an exciting one, because we have a lot of history with them, especially in playoff finals at Wembley. And this year has been very strange. When we went to Tranmere, we played awful. We got crushed. I think the final score was 3-2, but that flattered us. Honestly, we just got spanked. And then they came to the new lawn, and it was the exact opposite. We just steamrolled them. And again, it actually ended 2-1, but that flattered them in this time. Right. So that would be a very fascinating matchup if it happened, if we can get past Newport. So I wanted to ask you. So I wanted to ask you. You already kind of gave us your winner. So I just wanted to get closing out here. I wanted to get your playoff predictions. Who is going to the final, in your opinion, and who is going to get promoted and why?
Very good question. Well, first of all, I think Morecambe are going to beat Tranmere in their semi-final, and then Newport against Forest Green. I'm sorry to say, I probably would edge towards Newport. Sorry, Nathan.
Where is that end call button again, Nathan?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, sorry, we can't hear you anymore, Gabriel. We're breaking up. Your internet is supposed to be gone. Nice. And so why? So why? What about those teams? And then what about Morecambe to go on to win it all?
I'm just a massive fan of what Derek Adams has done at Morecambe, and as well as Carlos Mendes Gomez, who I've mentioned. Yeah. Good news, I suppose, optimistically, if you're facing Morecambe, the good news is that they've been without John O'Sullivan in recent weeks, and he's kind of their right winger. So in the last game, they played Liam Callendon, who's a central forward out wide. So that could be a plus. But on at the same time, they've got people like Sam Lavelle at the half of defence. He's really a maturing young leader there. They've got Tamani Diagaraga, who's quite a good technical midfielder, who's played a championship level to a reasonable standard. Cole Stockton as well is very much your focal point, who will bring people like Mendes Gomez into the game. So, I really like Morecambe, and they're just a very, very solid side, and they've got a sprinkling of quality going forward. So that's what would give them the edge for me.
Nice. Well, I hope you're wrong, Gabriel. Let's hope so. Let's hope you're wrong, man. We got to table this conversation, though. We need to pick it back up in a pub someday in the UK, because I feel like Sean and I could just listen to you talk about League Two for hours and just ask you questions and just go on forever.
Yeah. Well, if I'm ever in New York, yes, in Brooklyn, I'll be good.
Yes, absolutely. You are invited anytime to the official Rovers bar, or anytime you're in New York too. You got to, if you ever here, you have to let us know. We would love to meet up.
Gabriel, just in this 10-minute conversation. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Matrix, right? Where
I've heard of The Matrix. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Wow. Okay, you got to see it. You got to see it. A sci-fi classic. But there's this idea in The Matrix where that, you know, you get plugged into a computer system and you can just download all the stuff and know it immediately. So it's like the lead character gets plugged in. It's like 5 minutes later, he's like, I know Kung Fu. But I feel like just 10 minutes listening to you, we got plugged into The Matrix. And now we can say, I know League Two. Yeah. It's like Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves in that movie. Oh, man, you got to watch it, Gabriel. You got to watch it.
I know
Next time we grab a beer, you had to have watched The Matrix by then.
You're right.
Okay, all right, I'll put that on.
You're right. I feel much smarter now after talking to you. That I'm sure that will subside as soon as we hang up. But
once Nathan and I start talking to each other,
it'll go downhill. It'll go downhill
the level
real fast.
Of discourse.
But man, this was awesome. Thank you so much, for hanging out with us, for sharing your wisdom. We'd love to have you back on too, like maybe the start of next season, like to give us a little preview of League One. Hopefully. but if not, fine. League 2 will do it as well. So, Gabriel, thank you so much. Find this man on Twitter, at Gab Sutton, where he does just outstanding, brilliant work promoting these lower leagues, promoting the fans as well. Just excellent work, Gabriel. Please keep doing what you're doing. We all appreciate you. And yeah, man, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Yeah,
thanks, cheers, folks. That's my pleasure.
Gabriel Sutton, man, that was awesome. Appreciate you, Gabriel. Thank you so much for rocking with us. The man is so smart. I did not like his predictions at all, but really appreciate all the other knowledge. Outstanding guy, man. Love that guy. Really appreciate you, Gabriel. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for rocking with us. We're gonna have you back on in the future, I hope, if you'll come back. Anyway, let's go to Stat Man, Statistical Man, Chris Latham, our friend, your friend, everyone's friend. This guy's the best. Always brings the heat, and he's about to bring the heat again. Here we go. Take it away, Chris.
I'm a Stat
Man.
We welcome back to the pod, Statistical Man.
Stat Man.
Formerly a Stat Man. Chris Latham, welcome back to the pod. Chris, how are we feeling after that win? And maybe more importantly, about being 100% right about Aaron Collins and Jimmy Ball, Chris. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. It's playoff season, baby.
Yes.
That's good. It's amazing. We did it. You know, I think there was a like moment where you're just checking the scores and you're thinking, but they stuck at it and they did it. And that's what counts. And yeah, I guess I was right. I can take that one. For every 10 I get wrong, I get one right. So no, that was good. It's good.
Oh, you were spot on, man. Aaron Collins was unbelievable. Played his mind out, and you know, you were like, he just needs Jimmy Ball. He just needs someone like Jimmy Ball.
When he was at Morecambe for, and by the way, Laurie has stolen one of my stats, which was
I saw that on Twitter.
Aaron Collins has played for every team in the playoffs, but importantly, at Morecambe, he scored like 8 goals in 15 appearances. Came to us having scored. So, like, I think sometimes it's easy as fans to just see him, like, taking a shot and missing, but it's, like, harder to ask why. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you ask why, he's got, like, all this technical ability. We've seen him score some world-class goals, and you think, why? I think he's almost, like, trying too hard. And then you're kind of mm-hmm. like, well, why is he doing that? And it's because he's got under pressure to score. He's, you know, he's playing in a team where if you didn't score and you missed the chance, you're getting taken out of the team and being told in the media, oh, they should have taken their chances. Whereas now, under Jimmy Ball, he's got a manager who's just said, no, he's brilliant. He's got the technical ability. He's got the effort. He's got everything. And like the effort, boy, does he. Like there's two games in a row where he's created a goal from nowhere, really. The Tranmere game when he sort of tackled the goalie and won the penalty from nowhere. Yesterday when he got that assist, like the ball's going out. How many players are chasing that down? And then having the composure to set up a goal, like
he's flying around, and in Tranmere too, he almost created a goal out of nothing with the you know the keeper deflection too, because he's everywhere. He's flying around. You love it.
Yeah, I just think he needed that manager who gave him that chance, and now he's scored. He'll score again, and you can just tell he's enjoying it, which is good.
Yeah, but, saw him with a nice Budweiser on the bus ride back home, which is great to see. More than deserved.
Imagine that bus journey home was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, the video that we saw was like, you know, they're blaring music, dancing. Looked awesome. So what's our stat man?
Well, like I guess it leads on from like Aaron Collins scoring and stuff as well. Like we scored three again. We've scored three 5 times now this season, twice under Jimmy Ball in 6 games, whereas we scored 3 in like 40 games in League 2 under Mark Cooper the rest of the season. And I guess it's like, it's just reflective of this change. And if you look at some of the players' stats, like their pass percentage has dropped a bit. The number of passes has dropped a bit. And I think what we're seeing is the breaks have come off and they're just being allowed to play quicker, play more instinctively, and we're reaping the rewards. And poor Oldham, like we've put 3 past them twice now, or 3 or more. But the fact that Jimmy's done it twice in like 6 games, compared to 3 times in 40 before, it feels like it matches kind of what we're seeing on the pitch, I guess, that we're just giving it a good go. And credit to Jimmy as well, right? This, like, I think he gets a lot of credit for the enthusiasm, the like the buzz around the place and everything, but there's so much more to his management than that, isn't there? Like against Tranmere, he put two up top at halftime, changed the game. Like, oh yeah, we had to change it again with the red card, but it changed it. And then again yesterday, the substitution and things.
Yeah.
He obviously, like, and throughout games, you can see tweaks that he's reading the game and he's making a difference. And credit to him, really. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And actually, and going back to Oldham really quick, like, that's Oldham score goals. Like, Shyam and I talked about this earlier in the pod, but they, coming into this match, they were the number one goal scorers in all of League Two. Which is crazy to think about. They score goals, and he shut them out. And so, you know, as much as Aaron Collins deserves a ton of credit, so does Jimmy Ball, and so does that defense.
Going back to the defense and that, you're right, because they deserve credits. Like, how many clean sheets under Jimmy have we had? You know, people were saying, oh, this team have just got mistake after mistake, but we've managed to tighten up at the back and look better going forward. Like, that's a crazy recipe, really. That's
He's brilliant for winning.
Yeah, exactly. Playoff season, baby.
Let's go.
But like, when you get team unity like this, I think it does click and it comes back together, and you can tell they're enjoying it. And I think when you play with a team and you like playing, you just play better, don't you? And you defend with your life, and you know, like, a lot of these players are putting in tackles everywhere and sort of doing the work that matters, which allows us to go on and win.
Yeah,
it's good to see. Like, love it. I'm feeling positive. Like, all I know is, as well, they'll give it everything, and that's all I'd ask.
Let's go.
You know, I don't think they'll go down the tunnel at the end of any game and say they couldn't have given more, and that's all you want.
Great.
Let's just hope they go all the way so you can keep going to that bar in Brooklyn, which looks amazing.
Let's go. Yeah, oh, so fun. That was so fun, man. So fun. So, yeah. Well,
that was awesome. And just like, I think one of the amazing things about this season is that we've not been able to go to games, and I've probably, like, taken that for granted in the past. But, like, it's really weird that, because we haven't been going to games, it's not just like locally, but across the world, it feels like there's like this unity in fans.
Yeah.
And like this closeness that's been created. I've talked to people in Australia, to Argentina, to like US, to like, there's people everywhere love this club. And
yes,
you know, and even locally as well, I've had some brilliant conversations with people. Like, it's, I think it's just really brought things closer together, and you realize just like what a brilliant fan set we've got. So seeing things like that in Brooklyn is amazing. Forest Green in Brooklyn. Who would have thought it?
Yeah.
Forest, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
At the moment, Forest Green is, I don't know, it just feels like there's a buzz around the place. It's brilliant.
Yep. I agree. Let's go. Let's go, Chris Latham.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Playoff season, baby.
Let's go. Playoff season, baby. Jimmy Ball season, baby. Well, Chris, Statman, Latham, thank you so much. As always, this was awesome, man. And I'm very impressed. I mean, you came up with that on the fly, the new stat, because Laurie stole your other stat that
he
you were ready
it,
for.
But yeah,
your full like stats.
If anyone was going to steal my stat, credit to him, being him. Because his coverage this season as well has been brilliant, I think.
Totally agree.
Some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the little tweets, like the picture of Jimmy out on the pitch on his own, I just think he's done a brilliant job. And when I say about everyone feeling like quite close to stuff still, I think it's things like that that sort of make a big contribution. So props to the guy, because this, what is it, his first year doing it?
I think so. And he's, what, 20 years old, I think? He's got a ton of talent, so much potential. It's one of those things, kind of, just like our young players, you know, like Aaron Collins or Dokes or Cat. Like, you know, I hope we can keep them. They're so good. Same with Laurie. Like, I hope we can, you know, keep them. Well, thank you so much, Chris Latham. This was awesome. We appreciate you as always. We'll try to talk next week. There'll be no match between now and then, but anyway, up the Rovers, playoff season, baby, Statman season. Let's go.
Let's go.
Statman.
Statman, my man, Statman, Chris Latham, brought the heat as he always does. Appreciate you, Chris. Okay, Shimmy, let's close out there, brother. What a week! What an episode! Gabriel Sutton, outstanding guy. Just unbelievable knowledge. Chris Latham, as always, brings the heat, brings the fire, man. So, man, shouts to Gab Sutton. Shouts to Chris Latham. Shouts to Riker Wasman, one of my friends in fifth grade, big Packers fan.
Nice. For also first Noble. First mate of the USS Enterprise.
Let's go. Oh man, shouts to everyone who made the international video with
yes,
us.
Yes.
Shouts to Astronaut Jones, Tracy Morgan. Yep. Shouts to FGR NYC. Shouts to Superfine for hosting us in Brooklyn. And shouts to all of you for rocking with us. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Jimmy. Let's close this thing out.
Thanks, baby. On to the playoff. On to the playoff.
On to the playoffs. Playoff season, baby. Up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR. And you know we got a...
You know we got a...
Praise Hail.
Praise Dale, brother. Amen to that. We out, baby. See you next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Later.